It's the Beyond the Berm podcast. Hello and welcome to Beyond the Berm, our podcast about Disney and more. From burnsland.com, I'm Steve, and joining me from startedbyamouse.com is Matt. Hello, Matt.
I'm the King of New York.
All right. Do you have a crown?
Yeah. Yeah. They hand those out on every street corner, didn't you know that?
All right. Yes.
I don't know. Maybe I could have bought that from the gift shop from the theater so. Where I saw Newsies. I didn't see any crowns. That would be a great marketing tip. Maybe we should clue them in.
Yes.
King of New York, here, get your Newsies crown.
Surprised I hadn't thought of that.
Yes, I went to see Newsies in the theater.
Okay.
Pantages Theater.
Yes, fancy.
Be almost 2 weeks when we post this podcast, so it's old news now, you know. They're going to be leaving LA soon, but
right. So how was it?
It wasn't bad. Probably not my favorite. Chelsea really liked it, which is kind of interesting because we weren't sure that we were going to bring Chelsea at first because we weren't sure that she was going to kind of get the whole idea of the Newsies strike and all that, and perhaps she didn't, but she enjoyed the singing and the dancing,
right?
And said ooh to all the kissing and romance,
as well she should.
I actually do think that this worked a lot better on the stage than it did as a movie. So
okay, cool.
It was so funny. I remember, I think we saw Hocus Pocus, which is, you know, great campy movie. I love that one. And I think while we were there, I think that's where they had the preview for Newsies the movie. And I think I looked at Kathy and said, what the heck is that? And we didn't watch it, you know, didn't go to the theater. Nobody went to the theater, to watch
we
it.
We did, actually.
Did you? Cool.
We were some of the five people, I think, that went.
So I hadn't seen it, you know. You and I did Disney trivia with the Disney Store. Every year, Dave Smith would ask a Newsies trivia question. I didn't watch the movie year after year after year. I mean, yes. 1 year, asked the question, fine, but every year a Newsies trivia question. So I finally broke down, watched it on video, and I liked it. It was enjoyable enough. I didn't get quite the haterade that was going on with it, but certainly was not masterpiece theater level movie making by any means, but it was fine for what it was. And the best part is, after I watched Newsies on video, Dave Smith never asked another Newsies question.
That's all it took, huh?
I guess so. So yeah, so you know, I saw it in the movie theater. It was fine for what it was, even though, you know, like Brussels sprouts, I guess, you know, you stick your nose up to it at first, then find out it's not as bad as you think it is.
Yeah.
But it worked better on the stage as a Broadway production. I thought it was pretty decent.
Okay. Yeah, we had actually enjoyed the movie when we saw it in the theater, so we had owned it, I'm sure, on VHS, and then on, I know we have it on DVD now too, and the CD soundtrack, which used to get a lot of play back in the old days in our house. So it was enjoyable for us. You know, we're not the high drama movie kind of people, I guess you could say. So some singing, some dancing, and a little plot line that goes along with it, that's good enough for us. So we'd enjoyed it. We were interested in the stage version. It hasn't been here. Maybe it will come in the next year or two. And if it does, I'm sure we'll go see it. Because it does have some catchy songs. At least the movie did. I know they used a lot of the songs. They used, I guess, all the songs from the movie and then added some more. So it's The movie songs were pretty catchy.
Yeah, there were a couple of songs from the movies that they took out or reworked in a different way. So, what was the one, the High Times, Fun Times, or whatever, which was always really catchy. That one's not in it, so.
Okay.
That was kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
But Santa Fe is one of my all-time favorite songs. I love that song, love the sentiment behind it, which is a little different. It shifted a little bit in this version, but that's one of, you know, I have kind of a list in my head of like secret songs, secret Disney songs or little known Disney songs. And Santa Fe is always like one of them. I really like that song. So,
yeah.
You know, interestingly, I think in some instances, the pacing was a little off with the show. You know, most people like to applaud and give recognition for all the singing and dancing and acting that, you know, people have in musicals. You know, you do a musical number and we like to applaud afterwards. And there were a couple of them that were just sort of smushed together that there really wasn't that kind of audience breath where we were able to, like, you know, thank them for their job before they really went to either the next song or went into something else. So I felt like the pacing was a little bit off.
Yeah.
The set was fun. I mean, it was like, you know, moving. It was always kind of in constant motion. It was, you know, supposed to be representative of, like, you know, New York City apartments or whatever. And they used it to really good effect in some chase scenes and stuff. And it just, it was always moving. And you know, for choreograph scenes, I thought it was really fantastic how they would have had to have stepped right as this thing was turning, and it was really kind of fascinating to watch that kind of go. There are a couple parts where, you know, one of the characters, you know, sort of broke the fourth wall, as it were, and sort of talked to us in the audience or wanted us in the audience to clap along or participate in some way. And that's, and that's fine. And, you know, it's a youth theater kind of trick, but it was almost like the way it was done, like nobody was like sort of expecting it. And it felt kind of awkward almost. Like she broke the fourth wall. And then when nobody responded to her, it was sort of like, well, come on, why aren't you responding? And then people were like, oh, okay, I guess you really are talking to us. So it was a little odd.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they did change the story a bit to where, you know, the love interest had been, you know, some of the Newsies' sister. And they actually changed that where the love interest is a combination of characters from the sister and also the reporter. They kind of melded that character together.
Right.
Probably tightened it up a little bit, but it had an interesting reveal, which kind of worked. It was different. It was interesting, but it was more, and I haven't seen the movie for a while, but it did seem more romantic than the movie was. That seemed to be a little bit more the impetus of his actions versus just wanting to be a part of a family, which I've kind of felt like was more the movie. Like I said, Chelsea was on, and they did so much kissing.
But I knew they had changed the reporter character to a female.
Yes.
From male from the movie. I picked up on that in something, I guess, when it first came out on Broadway, they were doing some of the songs of it on, I don't know if it was on the Macy's Parade at Thanksgiving or on one of the TV shows or something. But I thought, oh, well, that's a little different from the movie. Well, yeah, so.
The only place where that got a little weird was that, you know, she had lines in the King of New York song, and just awfully weird that she's singing, I'm the King of New York. And, you know, you're kind of not. Maybe the Queen, but just, you know, semantics, you know, a little bit of syntax error there. I mean, it was fine. I mean, and I got what they were going for, but, you know, when you change a character like that and insert them into it, a situation where maybe they wouldn't normally have been. It's just odd.
Right.
But no, it was fine. Not my favorite. I mean, not my least favorite either. So I enjoyed it. It was high energy, high paced, you know. I did always, you know, even though I hadn't seen the movie, I had the soundtrack, so I always liked the songs.
Right.
You know, kind of hard to keep up on the characters. Very masculine base. They're all dressed pretty much the same. I think the lead, Jack, had a kind of a blue shirt on underneath his vest to sort of distinguish him from some of the other characters, you know. Crutchy obviously had a crutch, and you know, but it was almost, we were sitting towards the back of the theater, and it was almost like, okay, who's this one? So
I guess that's more of a challenge in a stage production too, where you can't get right up on people's faces like you can with a camera.
Right.
So, yeah.
But it was fun. High energy, high spirits. You know, we seized the day and lived to tell about it, I guess. So.
Cool. Yeah, maybe it'll come here one of these days and we'll get to see it. So.
Wound up, actually, that day that we saw Newsies, we wound up making a very Disney Broadway musical style production day. We came home and put Chelsea to bed, and then Kathy and I had absolutely nothing to watch on TV, so we wound up renting on the on-demand Into the Woods.
Okay, how was that?
I enjoyed it. I actually...
Did you?
I really did, and I went out and... I'm a big soundtrack fan anyways, but I went and bought the soundtrack, and I got the deluxe version, which had the score and the songs, and it was... I was really kind of captivated by it. I thought it was really well done. So much so that if they have a production of Into the Woods anytime around, I would like to go see it on the stage because I enjoyed it, and also to see the differences between... The movie version, which I could see where and maybe even why it was toned down a bit, but I really thought it was pretty spectacular. We wound up watching it 3 or 4 times. We had a 2-day rental, and I think we watched it like 3 or 4 times. Chelsea woke up the next day because that was what we were worried about. Kathy and I wanted to see it in the movie theater, but we didn't because we didn't have a chance to go by ourselves, and we weren't sure how appropriate it was for Chelsea, but. She was fine watching it, so she wound up watching, and we just went around for the next week singing some of the songs. We just break out in song from time to time, which we do anyways, you know, that we're very, you know, musically inclined family. I mean, isn't everybody, but...
Yes, we are, so yeah.
But no, I enjoyed it, so it was kind of, you know, big musical day, but...
Well, that's interesting to hear you say that, because... I've been out shopping for Laura's birthday present because her birthday's coming up Sunday, and I saw that in the store, and I thought, oh, I wonder if she would like that, because overall she likes movie musicals, and I really don't know enough about that one, I guess, to know if she would like it or not, so I don't know, it might be worth a try for a birthday present gift.
I felt like it was very, and you know, I mean... It goes back to one of our earlier podcasts where we say, what makes a Disney movie a Disney movie? Or what makes Disney Disney? And this certainly, Disney produced the movie, but it's not a Disney production per se. I mean, it was all well done. They bought somebody else's production and just turned it into a movie. So I can't claim this so much as a Disney thing, but it was really... smart, and I think that was one of the things that really captivated me about the songs is it, I mean, the music's really catchy, but the lyrics are very smart, and how they were able, you know, if you know the story, that's basically they weave these, you know, 4 Grimm's fairy tales together. It, you know, there's Red Riding Hood and Jack and the Beanstalk and Cinderella, Rapunzel's in it a little bit. So there's all these different kind of stories, and they weave them all together. And it's very intelligent how they were able to weave them together in the first place. But to do it lyrically the way that they did, I mean, it was, I don't know, spellbinding is the right word, but it really sort of blew me away how intelligent it was. You know, I love the irony of some of these things, and some of, and that was really, you know, I'm sure on the stage production it was more adult because maybe it's, you know, some of these songs are a little bit of double entendre type of things. It was just really smart, and it just really, I mean, the first musical number takes up, it's like 14 and a half minutes long, and it sets everything in motion, and it was just brilliantly done, and they're really weaving all these different things together, and it was just, I like it. I like musicals anyways, I guess, so I very much enjoyed it. And if you know the play, it's sort of different in a movie, but the play, it's pretty much they sort of introduce all these fairy tales, and they all kind of at the first act ends, and they all sort of get their happily ever afters, and then they go into the second act, and it's some of these happily ever afters, it's sort of like be careful what you wish for, and just because you think you're getting one thing doesn't necessarily mean that's what's happening. And sort of, it's a cautionary tale, and it's probably it harkens closer to the actual Grimm fairy tales, which are always supposed to be cautionary tales anyways. But I found it very entertaining, and I definitely go catch a stage production of this if I find it anywhere.
Cool. Maybe I need to go do a little bit more shopping before Sunday. Hopefully Laura won't listen to this until after Sunday.
Well, hopefully, that if you go and buy it for her, she actually does like it, because I'd feel bad. Well, Matt said it was great.
Well,
That was the worst piece of junk I've ever seen.
I doubt that. We've seen some bad ones. On recommendation of others, people say, "Oh, I really like that." So when we see it and think, "Huh, guess we don't need to listen to their taste in movies anymore."
Yes, and that may very well be it, but
Well, no, I doubt it. So I won't name any movies or people
yeah,
to protect the innocent, but yes.
anyways, those are my Disney musical days.
Cool.
A movie that had turned into a stage musical, and a stage musical that
Yes.
had turned into a movie, so.
Interesting coincidence there.
So it's
Well, there was some minor consternation earlier this week, maybe over the weekend, because several people thought that Walt Disney World had banned selfie sticks. And
Oh
there was some uproar about
no,
that,
the
apparently.
horror.
Yes. And so, if you don't know, those of you out there, the selfie stick is what you can use to attach to your camera or phone so that you can get your camera or phone farther back from you to get a wider angle if you're taking a selfie. And so Walt Disney World issued a statement a couple of days ago clarifying their position that no, they have not banned selfie sticks.
Too
They
bad.
won't let you use them on some of the rides, just like they won't let you use your camera on some of the rides because of the safety concerns. You would drop your camera, and so you might drop your selfie stick. So they do have some prohibitions there, but as a general rule, selfie sticks are still allowed. So everyone can breathe easier now that you can still take your selfie stick. So I just have to ask, Matt, do you have a selfie stick?
I do not.
Okay.
I do have tripods. Like,
Yes.
that's kind of an old school selfie stick, apparently. You know, if
Right.
you
Well,
want to set the timer on your camera and stand in front of it,
yes.
then there's your selfie stick.
Well, I have a selfie stick. It's called my arm. So
But.
that's good enough for me. But yes, it's a growing trend. And it's really not growing. It's an exploding trend, to take pictures of yourself in interesting places. And in some cases, in some cameras, it does better to get the camera farther back from you so you can see more of the surrounding that you're in because you've already taken 800 pictures of yourself just by yourself. So, it's best to get more of your surroundings in. So, I do know that some parks, theme parks even, and stadiums and other such places have banned selfie sticks. I'm not always sure why. I guess because you're too busy walking around looking at your camera and you whack somebody else in the head with your stick. I don't know. But those are banned in some places, for whatever reason. So the world is, say, well, Walt Disney World at least is still safe for selfie sticks. So
yeah, I'm not a selfie stick type of person myself. I'm not a selfie type of person myself for the most part. So I wouldn't need a stick to do something that I don't normally do, but. You know, on the surface of it, you know, the people that do whack people and are very inattentive, mm-hmm. I mean, are annoying. And so on the surface, you know, hey, yeah, go ahead, get rid of those annoying things. But, and I remember a few years ago, I can't remember the actress that had an incident with the paparazzi at Disneyland. But there was this big ban on huge lenses, which I don't have a huge lens, but you know, there was a ban on big lenses, and they were talking about a ban on tripods and a ban on this and a ban on that. And you know, as somebody who enjoys taking photographs at Disneyland and California Adventure, I didn't care for that. I mean, I didn't want, you're allowed to bring, you know, a 16 megapixel point and shoot, but you're not allowed to bring anything else. And that didn't sit well with me. So, while I am not a selfie stick person, I will support somebody's right to bear selfie sticks, I guess.
Yes. As long as they don't use it as arms.
Right.
So,
he'll poke your eye out.
Interestingly, someone else had posted something today on Twitter from the Six Flags parks, and I don't know if this applies to all Six Flags parks or if it's just one of the Six Flags parks. It's hard to keep track of all those parks, but they have a sign out where they do ban telephoto and zoom lenses of any kind.
Wow.
Interchangeable lenses.
Okay.
Yes, and tripods, you know, and selfie sticks. But I thought that was kind of extreme to ban zoom lenses and interchangeable lenses. I think it said you could have a lens only, it had a length, 3 inches, 3.5 inches long, you know, it sticks out from your camera, 3 or 3.5 inches. I thought, wow, yeah, that's kind of, I guess you got to draw the line somewhere, but, you know, that's kind of extreme because that would mean I couldn't take any of my cameras in because all my cameras have interchangeable lenses.
Right.
So yeah.
Yeah, I've encountered that slightly going to, and I don't go out often, but at sporting events, I know when we've gone to Angel Stadium, they have a limitation on the length of the lens. And I want to say it's like 4 inches or something. So I have an 18 to 200 millimeter that if it's extended, it's well beyond that, but closed, it's like right there at that length. And I know I've gone through the bag check and they pull out, not a ruler. I don't even know what they measure it with. Water bottle or something. They have something that they're measuring and I've always gotten in with it, but you know, it's one of those things where I'm always afraid, like, you know, I'm going to be sitting there during the game and security is going to come out. I notice you extended that lens beyond 4 inches and we're going to have to confiscate your media card. And
right.
So,
And that was the beginning of the Six Flags sign where it said no professional photography.
Right.
And then it listed all that under there as professional photography. So I don't know if you could say, well, I have a camera with an interchangeable lens, but I'm not a professional.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know. It's a
Disney's policy is actually no professional photography, too. It's supposed to be, you know, take pictures for your own personal use, and which is
and for that, you know, I can understand that.
Right.
But I'm no professional, but my camera can change lenses. Well,
right.
I can change lenses on my camera. I can't change it by itself. But yes. So I don't know. That's, to me, that's taking things a little too far. I guess kind of have both extremes there, from allowing selfie sticks to banning just everything except smallest point and shoot cameras. I don't know. Strange world we live in these days.
Well, it is strange. I mean, I've gone into stores that don't allow you to take. There's no photography in them. There's a sign on the Macy's here, the Burbank Mall anyways, no photography, and I've
right.
encountered that a couple other places. No photography, no video. And I remember we used to have that at the Disney store. People would come in and take pictures, and we'd have to go and tell them, hey, sorry, you can't take pictures of the animation. That used to be the thing. You can't.
Yeah.
You could take pictures in here, but you keep the lens point low. You can't take pictures of the animation. Trade secrets. Somebody might copy our design. Yeah. And then...
I guess. Completely lost my thought there, but it's in a way, I think, what's the big deal? I remember my thought now. We talk about that every time we go to concerts now, which they always ban photos and video,
right?
And then everybody gets out their phone,
right,
and takes pictures and video,
right,
and then posts it on YouTube or wherever if it's the video. And in a way, I think if I were an artist, you don't want people stealing your songs, obviously, or making bootleg copies and selling it. But at the same point, at the same time, you want them to share some of that, to put at least a piece of the song out there and say, this concert was really good. Here's what you're missing by not going to this concert, or
right.
here's this great song that I heard, or,
Right.
I haven't really seen any of that enforced at the concerts we've been to because everybody's pulling out their phone for something. So I don't know.
Thought about it, they have the same sign at the Pantages Theater and you can't bring cameras into the theater itself. And, right. I used to always see people, they take pictures, before the show and they get the curtain and stuff. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, for Newsies, even though that sign exists, because the theater doesn't change, the sign exists out there. What they were telling people going in was that they couldn't take any pictures or video of once the show started, of the stage, of the mm-hmm. actors and everything. And I'm like, that's much more reasonable because,
right.
can be a safety issue. Then you don't want to flashbulb popping off in their face or
mm-hmm.
I felt like that was much more reasonable than just no right. cameras, no, we're gonna confiscate every piece of electronics that you have. And and we've done that. I mean, we went to a D23 showing of Tinkerbell movie and we left mm-hmm. our stuff out in the car because it said no electronics. And then you get in there and, up on the screen they say, tweet about your experience using this hashtag. And everybody's looking around going like, we left our phones, out there. A little bag check. You can put your phone into a brown paper bag and get it after the show. But I get the caution. Just sometimes it almost seems like it's paranoia about some of it.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. What's the big deal, I guess?
Right. And it reminds me of on our last cruise on the Disney Cruise Line, they had the same thing there about no photography or video at all once the show has started.
Right.
Which, in a way, I can see that. But the funny thing was all the cast members they had stationed around the theater crouching down watching for people to get out their camera, and then they'd run over and jump them, almost say, put your camera away, no photography, right in the middle of the show. Now, which is more distracting, somebody taking a picture during the show or somebody running over saying, put your camera up?
Right.
So, and that was more distracting to me than someone actually taking a picture.
And that had been a change between our two cruises we went last year, so mm-hmm. 2014, and the previous cruise we had taken was in 2012. So that was a change.
Right.
In 2012, you weren't allowed to take flash photography, which, again, mm-hmm. perfectly understandable. You don't want these flash bulbs going off. But they didn't ban other photography. So I have a couple shots during the show. You crank up mm-hmm. your ISO and you get your settings right. correct. You can get a pretty decent shots during these performances without needing to use a flash.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. Big thing. We didn't go to many shows this past cruise either.
Right.
But I remember you saying that you can't use camera, and it does say that in all the guides. No photography at all. And it's like,
mm-hmm.
I enjoy watching the show and certainly putting the camera down. It's like a selfie stick. You don't want to be looking into your selfie stick. Look around and enjoy the scenery. I get that, but you know, part of my enjoyment is taking nice pictures of their performances. So,
right,
not as much fun when you can't take any pictures.
Yes.
Big meanies.
Yeah, they just don't want us to have any fun. Trying to suck the fun out of everything, man. So what else is going on these days?
Well, I found interesting that
you and
I both enjoy Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on television.
Yes.
Doesn't get the highest ratings in the world, so I've always been nervous that they're going to cancel it, because I really do enjoy the show. But interestingly enough, I read today that they're developing a spin-off of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I saw that.
So I'm curious to know what the spin-off will be, and I'm also curious to know if that means that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is secure in coming back for another season, or two, or three, or four, or five.
Right. Yeah, they didn't provide any details at all in that, which it wasn't an official release even. It was just someone else had heard that they were doing it. It was, at least the story that I saw wasn't technically official, I guess. But just that somebody said one was being developed.
According to Variety, the project is in the very early stages of development and does not have a proposed premiere date, nor plans for specific characters to lead the potential show. But the Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s executive producers are going to be developing it. And apparently, if they're going to do it, it's going to be something that it won't necessarily like be introduced in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but it'll be something that will kind of, I guess, grow organically from it type of thing. You'll know it from, and I don't know what that means. I mean, it can be in anything, you know, whether it's a character or a plot line or, I don't know. And the big thing right now is Nick Fury's Cube. Maybe the Cube will be getting its own,
maybe
own show.
So. Or maybe we'll have S.H.I.E.L.D. and then the real S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, two different S.H.I.E.L.D. shows. Now, to me, I was thinking about that earlier today. The show has really gotten interesting in the last few weeks to me. I after Agent Carter ended, I didn't have great big expectations for the second half of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season for whatever reason, because it had ended and I kind of, you know, put it in the back of my mind and was watching Agent Carter, and then it's like, oh yeah, here comes Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. back with whatever's going on. But then, especially in the last few episodes, it's really gotten interesting, where I was like, okay, I'm ready for next week's episode already. What's going to happen next? So,
it's
like you say, it still isn't at the top of the ratings necessarily, but I think they're definitely on their game right now, as far as I'm concerned.
I really like it. Unfortunately, I can't watch it live because I you know, either put Chelsea to bed and then I go out for a walk that night or whatever. So, it's been very hard for me because I can't go on like Twitter because they'll have, you know, live.
Right.
I don't know what they call them. Twitter feed. You know, tweet live. You know, and they'll do it for the East Coast and for the West Coast. And I can't look at my Twitter for 2 days until I can get to my DVR and watch the episode. And it makes it very difficult. I mean, not that I'm heavily influenced in Twitter, but sometimes I think I'd be more popular on anti-social network than I am on the others. But it makes it very difficult to go in because there's all these spoilers and you know, I mentioned in a previous podcast I want to know everything that there is to know about Age of Ultron coming up, but I don't want to know any spoilers on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and you're right, I can't wait till next week. So I was able to cut the 2 day lead time in previous weeks to 1 day. I was able to watch it the next day, and I'm ready for next week. So,
yes, we had that problem last week. We were out of town Wednesday through Sunday, and Tuesday night we ended up being busy getting everything ready to go and didn't get a chance to watch the show. I was like, I'm not going to be able to watch it again until I don't know when. So, fortunately, with being out of town, we didn't have a lot of time to spend. I didn't have a lot of time to spend on social media anyway, especially on Wednesday and Thursday. So I was able to avoid all the events that were going on, and we watched it Sunday night, and so it was good to finally catch up with it. And then the next one was only 2 days later. So
there you go. That's not
even,
too bad.
Even better.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, for me, I enjoy the show. And I don't care about ratings myself, other than I understand low ratings equal cancellation. So from that standpoint, mm-hmm. you know, shame on me for watching it on DVR 2 days later. Shame on me. Not that I'm a Nielsen family and they wouldn't be tracking me anyways, but shame on me.
Yeah.
But that said, it's one of those things where I'm enjoying the show as it's going along, but it's sort of morphed from this show that kind of had standalone episodes with kind of an overall arc into really this comic book centric type of storytelling where every episode is interrelated with every episode. And if you don't know what's going on, it's going to be hard for new people to jump in.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're only getting 3.5 million viewers now, I don't see how they're going to grow that number, no matter how great the storytelling's going, because it's hard for people to jump in.
Yeah. You're going to be lost.
Yeah. I watch very little scripted TV. One of the other shows I watch is Castle. And it's very much one of those things where at the beginning of every episode, you're introduced to a murder, and by the end of the episode, that murder is solved. Now they have a couple other overarching things, you know, I mean, Castle and Beckett have a romance going. So, okay, so maybe, you know, I'm not familiar with that and I'm a new viewer, I'll catch on to that. But, you know, I can jump in at any point on any season and pretty much, with very rare exception, figure out what's going on any given episode. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., not so much. You're jumping in now, it's like, what the heck is going on? Or as Hunter said in the last episode, I was only gone a week.
Yeah.
That was a great line.
I guess the good thing these days is now you can go back and watch the first season on Netflix, or go buy the DVD of the first season and watch it, and watch the current season even on Hulu Plus right now, or, you know, other streaming options. So there are ways to catch up with it, but it would take some time to go through and watch all those episodes,
right?
And figure out what's going on. So,
and I'm enjoying it. It's a good ride. And as much as, you know, there are people like, you know, the comic book geeks. Sorry if anybody out there is a comic book geek. I apologize, but you know, they know all of this stuff. Or if any of this is based on the comic book, you know. They want it all now because they have read 45 years worth of comics and they're caught up. You know, for me, I don't know all that backstory. So I kind of want it to be expository a little bit. And I want there to be a narrative, and I want the pace to be acceptable, but I don't mind taking my time. This isn't a 2-hour movie. It's 22 episode season. I don't mind slowing down and figuring out what's going on a little bit, and oh, hey, that's cool, that's a nice touch or whatever. But, you know, kind of the comic book geeks don't like it because it's not going fast enough for them. And then, you know, the non-comic book people are like, I don't know what's happening, which I'm kind of almost in the middle now, luckily, and I've caught up a little bit, you know, or I'm trying to, you know, after an episode airs, I'll go back and read somebody's recap that has all these spoilers and all these. Yeah, there was the reference to the Little Debbie cakes in either this week's or the previous weeks, and I could tell by the way that they set that up that was a reference to something, but I didn't get the reference. Somebody pointed out that it was the one shot for, you know, funny thing happened on the way to Thor's hammer. So I hadn't seen that. I went back and watched that, and I'm like, oh, right, yeah, I get that works, and I like that. I like those type of details that they can drop in.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know. I you know, being Marvel, being Disney, being on ABC, hopefully the show will be allowed to stay on. But very nervous with I mean, 3.5 million people is nothing to sneeze at. I take that for this podcast for sure, you know.
Oh, yes, in a heartbeat.
But
I'd take half of that.
But I just wonder, you know, I do feel like there's this great anticipation for, you know, Age of Ultron coming out. I just wonder why people aren't more tuned in to S.H.I.E.L.D. because, you know, I feel like it's leading up to that, or at least they're waiting for that to happen in order to go on another, you know, whatever. But I do feel like the two are tied in. I just don't know why people aren't necessarily watching the show, but they're, you know, itching to go see the movie, I guess. So.
Right. Kind of tying in with that, tomorrow is the premiere of the Daredevil series on Netflix, also from Marvel. And apparently it doesn't really tie in with any of those others directly, but it's another Marvel television series, so it'll be interesting to see how that is. I'm hoping they don't go too far in the adult direction, I guess. And they've said that they won't. You know, a lot of the shows that are made for Netflix and some of the other non-broadcast options have more adult language and sex and nudity and then what you would see on, especially on network TV. They've said they're not going to push that. So I don't know what that means, but I'm looking forward to watching some of it and seeing how it is. And another Marvel series, and it's tied in with three others that they are still working on that will also be on Netflix. So, I don't know. Marvel's got a lot going on right now.
They do.
And they're still able to do all of it well. That's the amazing thing.
Yeah, I don't have Netflix, so I'm not going to be able to catch this until some other point. So, you know, if it comes out somewhere else, I might pick it up.
Right. You know it'll be out on DVD, Blu-ray, a year later or so, yeah.
But, yeah, I've heard it's... I don't know if it'll be more violent. I've heard it's bloodier. I don't know about the language per se, but it's gotten good reviews from what I've seen. People really seem to dig it. You know, I can't help but think of Ben Affleck every time you hear Daredevil. So it's kind of like Newsies. You know, work better as a stage musical. Maybe Daredevil will work better as a Netflix series. I don't know.
Yes.
But, they really, I'd like to say Marvel is firing on all cylinders, but they're just firing a lot of cylinders, so.
Yes.
Hopefully, I think it's brilliant how they've tied things together. But, I mean, for instance, you know, not necessarily to go back to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but since we had started there. I'm very curious, you know, you talk about them firing on all cylinders and having these threads that tie together. I'm very curious if when they launched the show, that this is where they thought that they would be, story-wise.
Right.
I mean, my understanding is that they didn't quite know about the events of Captain America Winter Soldier, which really blew up their whole show. You know, I mean, obviously they're launching the Inhuman storyline, which has been announced as a movie, you know, a few years from now. It's like, I'm just very, I don't know. I just wonder how much pre-thought is into it. I mean, is there a puppet master, I guess? Is Kevin, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, Feige, is he the puppet master and he knows every thread that's going into each property and they are all going to tie together somehow? Because it's just seems incredible to me that, you know, even comic book history, you go back, I mean, these things are, I mean, they're rewritten 1,000 times, but they're all developed independently. I mean, there's very few things, you know, that are necessarily intersecting. So it's really cool to see them fit. And a lot of times you see these things and you don't see that they're going to fit at the time. And then later they blow your mind because, wow, I didn't know that was coming.
I wonder about that too. And I wonder how much of it is they have a master plan and how much of it is, well, it would be cool to have this character come in, or, you know, to tie this in with what happened back there and that other thing, or, you know, I don't know. Be nice to have an answer to that question. Even the little things, like we keep talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and with what's going on in the last few episodes from when we're recording this, of the real S.H.I.E.L.D. coming in with all those other guys, and the one woman that is on the board of the real S.H.I.E.L.D. was one of the instructors at S.H.I.E.L.D. Academy, which they visited back in the first season in one of the early episodes. And like, did they plan that all along, that she would be coming back up in season two as this other, in these other events, same character, but in these other events? Or did they say, well, when we're coming up with this real S.H.I.E.L.D., let's go back and get a character that we've used already? I don't know.
Right. Well, I kind of thought the same thing. You know, they had Lucy Lawless had a character that they use at the beginning of season two here, and they made mm-hmm. such a big deal about it. I thought she was going to be this big character, and
yeah.
Spoiler alert, she died off really, really quick.
Really quick, yeah.
I have been waiting all season to find out that they cut off her arm and she's fine. I'm waiting for mm-hmm. that reveal, and I don't know that it's coming.
Right.
But then in, you know, the previous episode, they do this whole flashback thing, and hey, there she is. So it was cool mm-hmm. that they were able to bring Lucy Lawless back in, because I know I believe she's filming some other series or something else right now. So she's not necessarily mm-hmm. available for it, but they had made such a big deal about her being on the show. Right. And that this character was so great, because she and Coulson were supposed to have this back history. And then, like, she was just gone. And it was
yeah.
really strange to me. So I do think that it was cool that they pulled her back in. But like you said, you know, was that something planned? Oh, hey, we'll reuse her again later. Or was mm-hmm. it one of these things where, hey, we have a chance to incorporate her. Why don't we? Or I don't know.
Right.
To me, it seems brilliant, but... It'll be like when you watch Into the Woods. You'll be amazed at how they weaved all these stories together so intelligently.
Yes.
Maybe I'm just simple-minded and I'm just blown away by any articulation at all. I don't know. Maybe that's all that it is.
No, surely not. So yeah, they're having the premiere of Age of Ultron the next few days, I think it is. So
I wanna,
hard to believe that,
I wanna
that,
go.
That the what's that?
Said I want to go.
You want to go?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Well, it's, you're closer to it than I am, so maybe you can work your way in. But yeah, it's hard to believe that the movie's almost here, because you know it's May the 1st. You know, start these summer blockbusters earlier and earlier now. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens in that one. And as we've discussed before, it sounds like it's not necessarily a happy ending from some of the spoilers that are out there, which I haven't really read much of, but might not be all rosy at the end to set things up for the following movies. So I don't know. I've gotten to where, and we talked about this before too, I wasn't really looking forward to Guardians of the Galaxy all that much, just partly because I wasn't familiar with it, and then it turned out to be a really good movie.
Right.
So now it's like, okay, ready for this next Avengers movie, and then Ant-Man, and you know, come on, keep them coming. So
they're getting so big. They're getting so big too. I mean, we're talking about that this is the Avengers, which is great. You mm-hmm. know, we saw the first one. You know, I always like Battle of the Network Stars, where they brought everybody together and such. Mm-hmm. And I always feel like that's the Avengers. But these things are getting so huge. I mean, you're talking about the next Captain America movie is going to have mm-hmm. Iron Man, and now they're talking about Spider-Man, and it's going to have... It sounds like it's going to be another Avengers.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all Avengers all the time. And I can't wait. That sounds awesome. Bring it on.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
Yeah. It's like they were saying about Pixar several years back now, that, you know, they keep... People were saying about when Pixar had hit after hit after hit, that sooner or later they're going to stumble and have a bad movie. And, you know, some people are waiting for that, you know.
Right.
Oh, finally, Pixar has one that didn't perform as well as the others. Okay, so, and I'm sure people are saying, you know, sooner or later Marvel's going to mess up and have something that doesn't do all that well. And a lot of people thought that would be Guardians of the Galaxy, which proved everyone wrong there by making tons of money last year. So, I don't know. They're doing it right, whatever they're doing. and I'm on board. You know, I go see him. Can't wait for the next one. Which is funny because when they first started with Iron Man, I thought, well, I don't know, that might be okay. And so then, I think, I'm not sure when we saw the first Iron Man. I think it was around the time Iron Man 2 was coming out. And back in those days, we had the Netflix DVD subscription. So I said, well, let's watch this Iron Man and see how it is. And because then they were starting to talk about some of the other movies that were coming up. And so I said, well, we'll give it a chance. And then we watched it and thought, wow, that was really good. So then we watched Iron Man 2 and thought, oh, that was good too. So we started seeing, and we saw Thor on Netflix Blu-ray. And it's like, wow, that's a good movie. So then we finally started going to the theater to see all these movies and haven't looked back since then, I guess.
I think it's always fun to see these, you know, as big as our TVs get nowadays or as good as our sound systems get, which I don't have great ones on either of those, but as big as they can be in your home, it's always fun to go to the theater and just see it in the massive screen and
mm-hmm.
you know, the rumbling sound system. And I enjoy going to the theater to see these big epic productions. It's a lot more fun to me.
And if you have the right crowd that you're seeing it with, which you can't necessarily, you know, audition a crowd, who am I going to see the movie with? But, you know, if you watch it with the right crowd, it's interesting to see it with other people, too.
Right.
Because you have that even bigger reaction there. So
as long as they don't have their selfie sticks out and
exactly.
They're not recording with the a camera with a zoom lens, hey, you know, I'm on board. So.
Yes.
Yeah. See, I weaved all those stories together.
Yes, you are.
I'm writing my own Broadway production now.
You're a master storyteller. Matt Walker, M.S. put those letters on your business card. Yeah,
you'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll kiss $3 goodbye.
Well, since we've kind of woven everything together, I guess it's time to quit now.
We should have quit while we were ahead, yes.
So, thanks for joining us and listening to our ramblings about whatever. And be sure and catch up with us on social media, such as Twitter or Facebook or iTunes. I was going to say Pinterest, but we're not on Pinterest. I don't know why, but we're not. So, we could start pinning some things and I don't know. Anyway, find us there and keep on listening and let us hear from you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Happy birthday, Laura.
Yes.